What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome, and this is hour number two of three. And it's just getting better. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage, as you know by now, is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see Cali looks beautiful today. Hope you're having a nice day yourself. Good to be back. I spent the weekend in New York City. I have a recap coming up shortly. Next hour, Golden State Warriors forward, Eric Paschal. This segment, we are efforting the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Bill Peters. We should have that for you momentarily. In the meantime, quick reset. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Good matchup tonight. Seattle, San Francisco. Who do you have?
Seattle.
Seattle or San Francisco? You can lay the points. How'd you do over the weekend? We talk college football. LSU goes into Tuscaloosa and they crack Alabama. As promised, we're joined right now by the head coach of the Calgary Flames. He is in his second season with that team. Led the team to its first division title in 13 years. He increased the win total by 13 in his first season as head coach. Calgary is currently in second in the Pacific. They're hosting Dallas on Wednesday night. Bill Peters is my guest. Bill, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Well, good, Jim. How are you today?
Good, good. Nice to visit with you. Thanks so much. You dropped a tough one, Bill, to St. Louis in overtime on Saturday. You trailed 2-0 and then scored twice in the third to get that game into OT where they won it. I know you're always looking for wins, not moral victories, but what do you make of the way your guys battled in the third period to force that OT?
Well, I really liked our game overall. There was a lot of positive things in the game, and obviously it was a big point. We would have rather to have two, obviously, but that's not the way it unfolded. Unfortunately, we took a penalty in overtime that led to them getting a power play, and they executed on it. But, no, we're trending in the right direction. We like our current homestand wraps up Wednesday, as you alluded to. We've got 5 out of the 6 points on the homestand to this point. We're 6-1-2 at home. So there's some positive things happening within our game.
We're talking Calgary hockey. Head coach Bill Peters joins us once again. You know, when you go up against the champions like that, and you know how they handle their business on the ice, in a hard-fought game where there's not a lot of space, you're trading checks with them, what's it say about the team that you have and the attitude in your room?
Well, we're a very resilient group, very confident group. We're starting to play well together, and guys are aware of that. They see that. We believe we're going to win each and every night, so I think the confidence level is high right now amongst our group. We have good goaltending. Our penalty kill is third in the league, and we got some other areas that we're working on to become better and a more complete team, but we'll get there.
We're talking to Bill Peters. I'm going to ask about the goaltending in a minute. I want to ask you about Matthew Tkachuk. He scored the goal that made it 2-1. Bill, it's hard to believe this kid's only 21, and yet he's in his fourth full season already. How special a player is he?
Well, he's a special player. If you look at what he's done this month, he really did a good job in Nashville battling and getting us back in the game with a late goal. He won it with everyone's calling it the tweener shot in overtime. Was incredible. And then he overtime win against Arizona. He gets the game winner there, and then he gets us on the board against St. Louis. So he's coming up clutch. But, no, he's a special player. He's a real good kid, and he loves the game. He's got a brilliant mind. Everybody talks about, his grit, and he's got a little bit of old school in him, and he definitely does. But he's got an underrated skill set, and really understands the game and has a passion for the game. So he's got a bright future.
So I was going to say, that goal against Nashville is absolutely amazing. It's unreal. And then you've got the production standpoint, and you've got that grit, and you've got his approach and his process. So what about the future, which you just referenced? What does the next step look like for him, and how high is that ceiling?
Well, he's got a real high ceiling, and I think he's just starting to understand what he can accomplish. Typically in the old days, it used to be centers who drive a line. I think he's a special enough player that he can drive a line as a winger. We're using him now more 3-on-3, 4-on-4, and he's coming up big. He's been everything we throw at him, he's able to handle, and then more. And I like the way he gets emotionally invested in a game. He's all in.
We're talking to Calgary head coach Bill Peters. Bill, every time I have an NHL head coach on, we end up talking about how much young talent there is around the game. As you look around the league right now and you see the young guys coming in and making an impact as quickly as they are, what kind of thoughts do you have about that?
Well, it's incredible how good they are at such a young age and how fearless they are to make these types of plays talk about the, you know, the Michigan goal, the lacrosse goal, unfortunately scored against us the other night. Then we have the tweener by Chucky, and then you just see this stuff each and every night, and these guys are fearless in their mindset and their approach to try these plays, and they have so much skill that they can actually pull them off at full speed in NHL game environment. So, you know, you didn't used to see that, you know, 5-10 years ago, but it's a credit to everybody in youth hockey, minor hockey, coaching major, junior hockey, and NCAA hockey that these guys come in and they're ready to play. They're ready to play in the top six. They're ready to be top four D-men. And there's no holding them down. There's no holding them back. And the veteran guys appreciate them, and they know they need them in order to win. So they're more than welcomed onto the scene.
We're talking hockey. We're talking to Calgary head coach Bill Peters. So, Bill, you mentioned your goaltending. You've got goalie David Rittich. He's been really strong this year. He used to be a huge fan of Coca-Cola, but legend has it, he really cut that back. He took on his conditioning and took it to a higher level. How has he looked to you so far this year?
No, he's been excellent. Ritter's been good right from day one of camp. He's played probably more minutes than we'd like. He leads the NHL in minutes played, but therefore we lead the league in games played. We've played the most out of anybody, so that kind of goes hand in hand. But Ritter made a commitment to his fitness and his overall game and his approach to his game, and that comes with maturity. And he sees the starter's job, and he's done a real good job and gives us a chance to win each and every night.
You know, it seems to me also, Bill, you tell me I'm wrong, but his teammates rave about his personality and what he means to the team in that regard. So how valuable is it to have a guy that, well, not only plays it the way he does, but can keep it light and fun, but knows how to get his work done?
No, he's a good pro. You know, he made the commitment in the offseason to get in better shape. He knows, you know, bright lights are on, he's going to dial it in, but you know, he's got a great personality, and guys play hard in front of him because of that. He's never going to, you know, point fingers and throw guys under the bus, you know, on goals against. He's going to own a lot of stuff. But he just loves to compete and loves to play hard, and he cares about his teammates. So it goes both ways.
We're talking to Calgary head coach Bill Peters for a few more moments. You know, when you first took over that team, it was coming off a season where they had missed the playoffs. Then you lead them to their first divisional title in 13 years. How far has the team come in terms of the style that you're looking for since you first arrived?
Well, you know what? We came in with a plan on how we wanted to play, and the guys dug in last year and really bought in, and it, you know, went well. We got off to a bit of a tough start last year, and then once we hit our stride, I thought we were a real good hockey team. And we've had a little bit of adversity here early in the season this year, which isn't a bad thing. And we've come through it on the other end, and we're starting to play real well on a consistent basis. So very encouraged with where we're at right now.
You know, when you and I last spoke last December, I'm kind of curious, like, in the off season, how did you go about approaching it? Like, when the season ends, do you start planning for the next one immediately and start going to work? Or do you give yourself a chance to kind of relax, unwind, and rest and recover a bit, like the players?
Well, you know what, you do a little bit of both. But until the Stanley Cup is awarded and the playoffs are over, you're watching every night. So you're still kind of in, you know, coach mode and everything else. And, you know, the way it is for me, I've got a younger son that's still in school, so I got to wait till he's out of school till we get to the lake. So you're still grinding and getting prepared for the following season. But once the Stanley Cup's award and school's out, then it's time to kick back and recharge and get away. And then when you come back to training camp, you're refreshed and excited about the upcoming challenge in the season.
So, Bill, how is lake life? There's nothing like lake life, right?
No, it's the best. It is phenomenal, especially out in Western Canada where we spent our summer. It's as good as it gets.
You've got Calgary in second place in the Pacific, and they're at home Wednesday against Dallas. Their head coach, Bill Peters, my guest. Bill, great to have you back. Thank you so much.
All right, appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Bill Peters joining us. Man, I love talking hockey. You know it. I love talking hockey, and Bella B loves when I talk hockey. And the lake life.
Hockey.
He loves the lake life. Nobody loves the lake life more than Tom Brady. Brady's all about that life. Brady is all about the life. The lake life. I said that I don't know that there's ever been a head coach that wanted to win a game more than Coach O. Wanted to beat Alabama. I'm not sure there's ever been a human being that ever wanted to go anywhere more than Tom Brady wants to go to the lake.
Let's go today!
He shouts, what lake is he talking about? Is it a lake there? Is it a California lake? Which, I don't know. I really want to know. That guy's fired up. Which lake does he want to go to? I know his spot in Montana. There aren't a lot of lakes around there. Some amazing streams and some rivers. There is one lake not far from his house in Montana that I used to go to, Hebgen Lake. That's not the one he's talking about. I know that lake. No, Hebgen's cool. I like Hebgen. It's freezing. But he's not that fired up. Not this fired up. Listen to the guy. Let's go, Albie. Let's go, Lake.
School, so I got to wait till he's out of school till we get to the lake.
That's Bill Peters. Bill Peters is about the lake life. I'm about the lake life. You know, the one that I dropped my phone into. Cranberry Lake. Eric Paschal coming up in hour number three. When we come back, or not. Let's see. 1-800-636-8686. Where do you want to hit on? We're wide open on this Monday. I went to New York and back twice this week. It was so awesome. Let's go to Tucson quickly. Matt in Tucson. Hey, Matt, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Rome, congratulations on getting to the Radio Hall of Fame.
Not a very good call.
Hawk, you're not that hard a fool, are you? Hawk's like, go ahead and put them on, man. Hey, Adam, what do you have to say for yourself after that?
That guy did not tell me he was going to do Epstein stuff.
Oh, really? No kidding. That guy did not tell you, quote, he was going to do Epstein stuff. Really?
He just came on very sincerely and said, that is an awesome honor. I'd love to congratulate Jim on it and tell him that I want another
20
years.
And then make my Epstein joke. Yes. It's not funny at all.
Right.
All right, good. Anyway, thanks. Thanks for playing along. I'll get back to you in a minute. Quote, oh, I didn't know he was going to do Epstein stuff. Well, I would have never let him on, boss. 1-800-636-8686. You're more than welcome to call this program. You're more than welcome to disagree with what I've said. You're not more than welcome to call this program and, quote, do Epstein stuff. When we return, I want to talk about the weekend in New York City. I want to talk about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I want to talk about what happened when Hawk started drinking. Yeah, we all did. And I will get into all of those things because it was a truly epic weekend in New York City. Do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Do you love money? Then I've got your program. Get down to Hooters. Catch the game, play Monday Night Moneyball. Every week you are just a few questions away from a chance at making bank. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks. It's easy to play. It works like making prop picks. So who's going to win? It might be you. It couldn't get any easier, and it is free to play. So if you love wings, and you do, if you love ice cold beer, and you do, and who doesn't love the world-famous Hooters girls, then there is no better place to get your sports fix on. Now you can get in on the action if you've got that game. Head to Hooters. Watch all the games. Eat, drink, and play for all the jack. With Hooters Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com. Register right now. Then head to Hooters for every game all season long. HootersMoneyball.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Even though I am not going back to New York for the third time in 2 weeks, it is still an NFL on CBS double. I wish I were, by the way. I would. It's an NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic QBs in the sport. Jackson and the Ravens.
Jackson.
Welcoming Watson. You don't have that one, do you, Albie? Watson and the Texans. And then you've got New England bracing for another tough road game in Philly. Good, good weekend. It all starts with JB and the fellas on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. Okay, then. We'll break in the action. Let me talk New York City with you. Let me tell you about the weekend we had. Unbelievable and truly surreal weekend in New York City where I was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame on Friday night, along with an amazingly distinguished class. But the whole thing really was pretty surreal. Surreal when you consider, and I did not know this, but I heard the numbers that night. Surreal when you consider there are roughly 65,000 on-air personalities in radio today and only 243 inductees in the Radio Hall of Fame. So to be one of the 243 is pretty mind-boggling to me, especially when you consider the caliber of talent for the class of 2019. The class included Sean Hollywood Hamilton, Harry Harrison, Kevin and Bean, Joe Madison, John Tesh, Ryan Seacrest, and Dr. Ruth Wesheimer. I want to congratulate the entire class of 19, and I could not be more proud to be a part of it and to be associated with those professionals. On a personal note, I could not have been more pleased than to go in with my guys, Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. K-R-O-Q. That is an absolutely legendary morning show on an iconic radio station, K-R-O-Q in Los Angeles. And there is no one better, no one better on or off the air than these dudes. I love these guys. And Bean is moving to London, so that show, as it was, is no longer, although Kevin's going to continue. So I was really fortunate to appear on their show in recent years after listening and admiring them and their work for a number of years. So that was just awesome. So the only thing better than getting the nod from the Hall of Fame was to go in with my guys, Kevin and Bean. The night started, and it was really interesting because we all get to go up there, and we were told that everybody gets a presenter. The presenter gets 3 minutes, and then the inductee gets 5. And it was kind of hammered into us that you need to stay on that point. You need to stay on the clock. We ran a little heavy last year. So I went first. You don't get the benefit of knowing how it's going to play out. So I started the evening with my speech, and then Ryan Seacrest closed it with his speech, and he had Jimmy Fallon as his presenter. So he flexed a little bit. He could. He can. He's Ryan Seacrest. And let me tell you, for 1 minute, let me tell you about Seacrest. This dude is a force of nature. This guy working the way he works, crushing the high-profile projects that he crushes. To see Ryan Seacrest show up the way he did and deliver the way he did Friday night, honestly, was pretty extraordinary. I mean, this guy's a killer. Now, don't get it twisted. Everybody honored Friday night understands this notion of go time. Everybody showed up. Everybody showed out. But I got to say about Seacrest, this guy's got another gear. And then on top of all that, a truly unforgettable weekend because the XR4TI was there with me. Almost the entire crew. Dave Whelan, Adam Hawk, Alvy, the flight deck, Kyle Brandt, who is now a New Yorker, was there to rep the jungle with his wife, Brooke. And best of all, the Rome fam was there to represent. Jake flew in from Madison on Friday night. He hit the ground running and immediately hit the streets of New York City as soon as he got there. Where and what that kid did, I still have no idea. Jake flew in from Madison and immediately hit the streets of New York City. Like, I don't even know who he knows there. Logan flies in with Janet. And then I met up with everybody the next morning, Friday morning, because I touched down at 2 a.m. The other great thing about the weekend was I actually was there more than 24 hours. Something I can never do when I appear on the NFL on CBS. Normally, I get there on Saturday night. I stay in my hotel room. I get up. I do the show. I fly right back. I literally never leave the hotel for anything other than to go to the studio. This time that we had almost an entire weekend in the city, so I got out. We had the show Friday night, the ceremony. Then we had a party at a rooftop bar after the event. A bash so good that I left my David August overcoat at the bar and my phone in an Uber. And as I said on Instagram, at least the driver wasn't pissed that he had to come back to the hotel to drop the phone off. Little did I know that same driver made 2 separate runs to try to give it back to me. I missed the first one for whatever reason. No wonder it seemed like he wanted to give me the hands along with the phone. Good thing it was on my guy Matt Coleman's Uber account. I guarantee homeboy hit all of us with one star after that debacle. I pretty much gave the guy all the cash I had just to get him to chill out. I mean, come on, bro. Really, how many fares did you really lose at 3 o'clock in the morning because of me? Take it easy, broham. Life is short. It happens. It happens to us all. Don't act like I'm the only guy that's left a phone in your car.
Yeah, it happens.
He was so pissed. He was pissed that he picked us up and we only went like 2 blocks. We're from California, man. We were wrecked. It was cold. And then he had to come back and drop the phone off. Then we had the entire Saturday to enjoy the city. So I hit a show, Moulin Rouge, which was kick-ass. Then we hit a steakhouse, STK, which my younger son Logan said was his favorite restaurant ever. The kid has traveled throughout Europe, but never gotten a taste of anything like the New York City nightlife. He tried to order a shot. I'm like, Junior, settle the hell down. You're 14. Settle down. Then I made it back to my room, unscathed, with my coat, with my phone, and with my credit card. All in all, it was an all-time great weekend. One that I wish every one of you clones could have experienced with me. Because as corny as it sounds, I did not go in. We all went in. And there's no way that I sniffed that joint without all of you. I know this. And I appreciate and I love the hell out of you clones. And believe me, you were on my mind the entire weekend. If you want to know what it was like to be inside that building, find John in New York. Because as promised, my man John in New York was there to represent. John in New York was living up to all of the advance hype. You remember
Thank
John?
Thank you.
Well, that's not really
awesome
John.
Awesome interviews.
That's Jeff in Southfield doing John. And I got a lot of FaceTime with John on Friday night. John did not once say, "Thank you for all the interviews, Jim."
You're literally my bestest friend.
That did not once come out of his mouth. He did not say, "You are literally my bestest friend." John was great. John was exactly what you would expect. Let's see. Hey, Rome. I coach O. Signed, Dr. Ruth. Mitch from Buffalo. Come on, man. She was incredible. She's 91. And she was up there holding it down. I got to paraphrase what she said. But Dr. Ruth, at 91, at the Radio Hall of Fame, was on stage speaking to all of us. And she had an assignment for all of us. Everybody in the room. And she said, "I want all of you to go home after this tonight and try a different position." Dr. Ruth said that. At Brian C60 tweets, "Jim, why is Hawk dressed in all black today? Is he mourning the loss of a hipster card?" Wore Hawk burying his mustache in a matchbox in his backyard. We're going to find out why he looks the way he looks today. Shortly. This says, "Mr. Rome, congratulations on your Radio Hall of Fame induction. You and your sons look quite dapper in your fitted designer tuxedos. We do appreciate that we were able to outfit your XR4TI crew from suits off of our discount racks. Signed, the good people at Burlington Coat Factory. Brian in Charlotte. Unwore the vandals, the sprayed graffiti on James Kelly's forehead as he walked through Brooklyn." Omaha. Here's the thing. We were not all geared up in custom-made suits. In fact, all of us from California were just scurrying around, rallying at the last second, trying to buy jackets off the rack. We don't have clothing like that. I was the only one because I've got a prior relationship. And even then, that overcoat that I had that I was so proud of, I left in the bar. We get out of the Uber, where I left my phone, which I did not know. And my guy, Matt Coleman, says to me, "We're starving. We're starving." So we go across the street, to get a sandwich at 2:15. He looks at me and he's like, dude, where's your jacket? I'm like, crap. Where's my phone? Screw it. Where's my sando?
No!
Romy, Hawk went Hawk. Please, God. Tell me he got sauced up after the after party, snagged the mic, and started belting out, "We are the champions," a la Dirk Nowitzki. No, we did not karaoke. He did not do that. You're going to find out, though, next segment what he did. Geoff sent that in. 1-800-636-8686. So having fun on hour number two. Coming up next hour, we'll talk some Golden State Warriors basketball with Eric Paschal and a lot more. Do not go anywhere. I want to check in with Adam Hawk. I lost my phone momentarily. I lost my jacket momentarily. Hawk lost something even more significant. And what do you think mattered to me more when I lost those two things? What do you think I wanted worse, my phone or my jacket? The jacket cost 10 times what the phone was, and I wanted that phone 100 times worse. I got that back first. Let's get to a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You want to come into Hooters every Monday all season and play Monday Night Moneyball. You're just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies. A new chance to win every week and Hooters girls to make every game more fun. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. Liz in Fall City tweets, did Logan and Jake go all Beavis and Butthead when Dr. Ruth gave her speech? No, I think Jake was already in the city looking to execute. Looking to do what the doctor told him to do. You gotta understand about this kid. Like, we all flew in separately. We all had different schedules. So Jake flies in from Madison. Janet and Logan fly in together before me. And then I fly in. And we all come in at different times. I'm not kidding you. This kid got off the plane from Madison, and I don't even know what time it was, maybe midnight or later, and immediately was in the city. Like, he had friends. He knew people. I'm like, who the hell do you know in New York City? And then he comes in when he comes in, whenever he came in. I see him the next day briefly before the event. We go to the event. We have our after party. He can't go to a bar, so he goes back out, and he does more of what he did the night before, I guess. And then some other things. And then literally flew back to California and I saw him for 5 minutes last night and he left. I'm like, Hawk, can you bring me up to date with what my kid's up to? Because I don't think I got more than 5 minutes of FaceTime with him. Oh, good. Adam informed me that he was hanging with his NYU friends. Okay. At least I know that now. All right, Adam. In fact, I've got some other things I want to talk to you about. So Adam Hawk made the trip. D-Dub, Alvy, Flight Deck, and wah! So Adam, my plane to New York was on Thursday, and I want to say it was about an hour after yours, but mine was delayed for more than 2 hours. I landed right around 2 a.m., and I went lights out that night at about 3 a.m. So what time did you get in Thursday, and what was your plan for Friday since you had the entire day before the ceremony itself?
Yeah, I got in about 10:30 local time, got a quick Uber, no traffic at all coming into the city, unpacked, got to bed around midnight, set a wake-up call for 5:30, and I was ready to hit the ground running Friday morning.
Dude, 5:30.
5:30.
Why?
Because you're in New York once. This was once in a lifetime. We had a very short amount of time to be there. I didn't want to waste any time in the hotel room. I was very grateful for you making this trip possible, and I thought it would be a slap in the face to just sit in the hotel room. So I was like, I'm going to go and walk a mile and a half to Central Park in the 33-degree weather, run a five-mile loop, knock that out, and then just crush a crazy Anthony Bourdain itinerary later on that day with whoever wants to come along.
Attaboy, I love that. All right, so what was on the itinerary? How many boxes did you check that day?
So I had an itinerary that spanned like 11 hours that included Central Park, breakfast, subway rides, the 9/11 Memorial, Battery Park, the Statue of Liberty, walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, shopping in Williamsburg, eating lunch at Joe's Pizza, taking the train back to Times Square, and I got it all done. And I sent this itinerary planned down to the minute to Alvin and James Kelly. Alvin called me a tool. James Kelly said I had lost my mind, and I thought I was going to have to do it all alone. But James Kelly ended up going with me for everything except the run around Central Park.
All right, so how did you get him out? I mean, I know he wanted no part of that.
You're exactly right. So I got back from the run, and it was 8 in the morning, and I had texted James like 5 times on the way back. He had not responded to any of it, and so I just called him, and he picked up the phone. He's like, "Rrr." I'm like, dude, wake up right now.
At what goes, time?
8:30. Okay. And he goes, I'm not getting up, dude. F you was what he said. And I said, if you don't get up right now, you're dead to me. We're not friends anymore. Meet me in the lobby in 15 minutes.
He said, good, and he hung up.
I said, meet me in the lobby in 15 minutes. If you waste this trip, dude, I'm going to waste you. And he said, give me 30. And I said, okay, you've got 10 now. And so he met me at the bagel shop across the street. And we got some large coffees and some sesame seed New York bagels, and the rest is history. Just went off on the greatest day of our lives.
All right, so the greatest day of your life. On the greatest day of your life, what was the highlight of your tour of the city?
Without a doubt, the 9/11 Memorial, just an unbelievable place. I know Alvin went the following day on Saturday. It's just too ridiculous to put into words. It's a sobering experience. It's the only place, I think, in the country where you feel like you're from there and it's your home without ever being there before. It's just the moment just hits you really hard. And New York has done a wonderful job memorializing that for the entire country and the victims. Just fantastic. And then after that, we ran into Peter Schrager, who told me to pass on congratulations. He was just wrapping up his show, Good Morning Football, which Kyle is on. So we saw him at his place of business. And then another highlight was the very romantic walk across the Brooklyn Bridge.
How'd that go for you?
Oh, it was amazing. We put in 8 miles on the ground
that
day.
Don't leave out any details about that walk across the bridge.
James almost dropped his ID down the bridge onto the freeway. What else?
You told me you asked directions and some guy told you what to do and you're like, I got this.
So we're walking en route to the bridge and the guy said, hey, where are you guys going? You're going to Staten Island. You need to catch a ferry to the Statue of Liberty. What are you doing? And I said, we're going to the Brooklyn Bridge. And he goes, you're going the wrong way. And I looked at him and said, no, I'm not, dude. I know where I'm going. He goes, uh-huh. Where are you from? And I said, L.A. He goes, cool. I'm from here, and you're going the wrong way. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And about 15 minutes later,
right when I was going to tell you how much I respected you and appreciated the way you were handling yourself, Adam, that happened. So what happened 15 minutes later?
15 minutes later, my phone had, you know, told me, look, you're going the wrong way. And what I didn't realize is that bridges don't start where land meet water. Bridges start further back to give cars time to get on without driving into the water. So in order to walk on the bridge, we had to walk back into the city. I thought it was just going to be go to where land meets water. It was a dumb move. It added a lot of time to the trip. But I got to spend more time with James. We got a nice walk across the bridge.
Dude, you were like Goggins. You went off track, and then you added 15 extra hours, and you got back on, you finished.
That's exactly right. So James was wondering, why are we going to Brooklyn? And I said, we're going to Brooklyn because this is the hipster capital of the world. This is where my people live. This is everything I model my life after.
You have people.
I have people. The hipsters of Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
The doofuses of Brooklyn.
Absolutely. So when I stepped foot onto Bedford Street, where the hipster movement was born, where the D-bags of the world all congregate,
You're settling in, man.
I felt right at home.
Dude, you should have been on stage on Friday night. Listen to you. All right, go ahead.
So we found a classic slice of New York pizza at Joe's Pizza. That was awesome. We got some gifts for our wives. James didn't know. I really hope his wife isn't listening. James didn't know that you're supposed to bring back presents for your family when you go places, especially really cool places.
Maybe he's never gone anywhere.
Yeah, that could be. So he grabbed some presents as well after
Dude, remember, he was not getting out of bed for anything.
That's true. I was lucky to
have
him.
I'm surprised my man made it to the ceremony.
Me too.
Oh, hell no. I'm not going to go see Van Smack get his.
So we did the whole Brooklyn thing, and it was great. And then we took the train back, the L train, and no big deal. I'm a local now of New York, and went under the East River, got back to Times Square, walked to the hotel, and then...
This is amazing that you did all of this, but it just goes to show, if you're locked in, you want something badly enough, you can make it happen. This is all good. It's all positive. Were there any negatives? Like, if that was the highlight, what is the low light?
I hope Brooklyn Brewery is listening right now. That was some really overrated beer. The people on Yelp have it all wrong. That's not five-star beer. That's wannabe California West Coast beer. Their IPAs are just a horrible imitation of what we've been doing on the West Coast. So everyone who thinks they're drinking good beer on the East Coast, just come out to California and we'll show you what's up. So that was a low light. The Statue of Liberty, very cool, but super small and really far away. So we were just kind of standing in like 30-degree weather, getting blown away by the wind and couldn't see anything. So those two things probably.
Hey, Adam, it just hit me all of a sudden. I've got one quick question. The hell happened to your porn stash?
So after a wonderful event, we then, you know, went next level with it. Friday night after the Radio Hall of Fame ceremony, we went next level at an after party that you and Janet hosted, which was beyond gracious. And this was back-to-back open bar events. The Hall of Fame was open bar. Spyglass was open bar. I'm coming off of Sober October.
Open bar for you, but go ahead.
Yeah, open bar for me, right? I had probably a little bit too much to drink, if you will. I counted 12 drinks, and, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you haven't been drinking for a month, that'll do it. And I kept myself together at the event, a lot of important people there, and then I guess it hit me on the walk home, and I don't remember anything, and I woke up Saturday morning and looked in the mirror and I didn't have my mustache. I left.
Way to handle your liquor, Hawk.
I left the after party.
You woke up
a
without
mustache.
The porn stash, yep. And have no idea what happened to it.
None. I left with a mustache and woke up without one. And it only could have taken place between leaving the party and waking up. I don't remember packing my bags, but they were perfectly packed, which was a nice surprise waking up at 7 in the morning. I was like, wow, someone packed my bags, or I did. Oh, my mustache is gone.
Probably the person who took down your stash packed your bags.
Probably. So whoever did it, if it was me, I mean, I'm mad at myself. If it was someone else, that's
a
great joke. I don't know. Was it Alvy? Okay,
dude,
not Alvy.
No.
Do you have anything written on your face?
Nothing written on my face.
Your forehead?
Nothing like that. Me and James Kelly shared an Uber. He didn't recognize me when I got to the lobby that morning. He's like, what the hell happened to your face? I was like, your guess is as good as mine.
What time did you get home that night?
I got back from, I have no idea what time we got back from the party at all. Walked back with Dave and Alvin and Mill and James. And it was a great time. I just, the last hour, little fuzzy.
Wow, dude. So you lost your stash. When you walk through the door and the wife sees you sans porn stash, what was her reaction?
Best thing I could have brought back was the clean shaven face. She is so happy. She's over the moon, excited. She wants it in permanent retirement. I had no idea how bad she hated it until she saw me without
it. She doesn't care
her.
How it went down, though.
No, she wanted to make sure that I represented well. And I've asked everyone on crew, and they said I was fine.
Did I say anything?
Fine.
Did I embarrass him?
Yes.
Am I going to get fired when we get back?
I wondered
am I going to lose
that.
More than just my porn stash, my livelihood, my paycheck?
I wondered all of that. And apparently I kept it together until Tony Bennett said he left his heart in San Francisco. I left my mustache in New York. And my
That's
wife
a
is
stupid very- line, Hawk.
Thank you.
You're probably like, what the hell? What's he going to do, fire me? He lost his jacket and his phone. What the hell is he going to say to me? I lost my stash. He lost his phone and his jacket. What's the guy going to say? What's he going to do?
Can I just say for the record, we all had a really great night. It was a lot of fun, and it was unforgettable. And I've always wished that I was here for the tour stop days. And this was awesome. I was here for this. It was great. It was a legacy night, a well-deserved honor. It was so cool that you brought the whole crew out. It was a big, big deal. When you bring your family, Tesh brings his family, Ryan Seacrest brings Jimmy Fallon and his mom and dad, it's a big deal. Craig put on a wonderful event, and I loved every minute of it. Up until I stopped remembering it. It was awesome.
All right, so one more thought about that, because you are, and I said this as part of my speech, nobody loves radio the way you love radio. What was it like to be in that room? What were your impressions? As a radio dork, what was that like?
I had no business being in that room. There
True.
Was so much star power. There's a picture of all of the class of 2019 together, and it's just like, holy hell, these guys shaped a lot of people's listening experiences for a long time. Just an amazing room to be in, and I forgot the last part of the night, but I won't forget that part of the night.
That literally was your single best breakdown of anything you've done since you got here.
Thank you.
Adam Hawk.
Thank you.
Well done. So Hawk, and he told me what he was going to do when he got to the city. I'm like, bro, I respect this more than anything I've heard or seen from you since you got here. Man, get after it. You're right. You're not going to be here very long. Do as much as you possibly can, Bourdain. Then you got James Kelly. He's like, oh, hell no. I'm just sitting here, me and my big head, man. I got bets I gotta make. I'm hanging out, dude. I'm a king. Got my own room, got my own life. Get out of here, Hawk. When we return, we've got the third and final hour. Eric Paschal is going to join me at 40 past. We'll talk some Golden Gopher football next and more. Stay tuned.